What?
I press record and then I stop being out of here, but then it went back.
What? Are we recording now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just that as soon as I press record, I lost all hearing.
Just another smooth beginning by Josie and Mel.
We love smooth beginnings.
From All Aussie Mystery Hour.
Remember when we had like one of our guests?
Yes.
Maybe it was Alicia. Maybe it was even one of our male colleagues.
Yeah.
And they were waiting for like like introduction. And they were just like, hi. And they're like, has it started?
It's never smooth up in this bitch. Also, hello, everyone.
That proved that they've never listened to the podcast.
Yeah, it did.
Because they would know.
I love catching people out that don't listen. Kate Mason doesn't listen.
Well, she won't hear this.
I could call Kate Mason is a cunt and she wouldn't even... She wouldn't know because she doesn't listen.
You know what? I've never liked her. I'm actually kidding. I've actually known her longer than I've known you.
I know.
Hi, everyone. Hi, sorry, everyone. I ruined your greeting before.
No, that was just me. I don't know. I'm in a loving mood today.
Mel and I are in very zesty moods.
We've been zesty all arvo.
Why? I don't know.
We're just in, like, perving on dudes and like not like on Instagram, which still sounds weird. I'm digging a hole here. Bad. Anyway, we've been like just being sassy and playing Taylor Swift and then playing like AC/DC. It's been like a mood today.
It has been.
But it's Friday. It's Friday. And that was always our excuse to not be like researched. And guess what, Josie? I'm actually super researched today.
I forced Mel to do a serious, not serious, but like no more monsters.
No.
Just for this episode, because we've done two funny ones in a row.
I know. And to be fair, she was like, I lean on them. I literally was like that. And I kept like being like,
and like groaning at a desk. I'm like, this is welcome to researching a murder.
Well, the reason it's hard is because when I do a monster, I don't feel like I have to try.
Yes, because you don't have to respect any victims or anything, because you're like, did this happen? Probably not.
It doesn't have to worry about, like, you know, defaming people or like lying. I can just say things.
The Yowie's not going to sue us for defo.
No, but
that would be pretty funny if it did.
I would love that. I'd be open to it.
Class action lawsuit from like a group of Yowies.
Yeah. So good. I have no newsy things. There's no like mystery minutes that isn't mystery minutes to talk about right now.
What did I think the other day?
Oh, you know what I was going to talk about real quick?
What?
I'm fucking obsessed with Fleabag, and I just want to like, even though it has nothing to do with anything to do with mysteries or murder or anything, I just wanted to tell everybody that I'm really obsessed with it. I'm stalely on board, like, you know, stale levels are on board.
You know how I talked about Killing Eve?
Yeah.
The creator of Fleabag created Killing
Eve. Yeah, I know.
So you would maybe like Killing Eve?
I would, but Fleabag I just love because she's just like, I can't even explain it. It's so very much my life.
I'm a bit like, I don't want to watch it for that reason.
Oh, okay.
Because I think
you?
No, because I think I'll also be like, oh, you know, because I feel like a lot of women can relate to her.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't like that. I like more of an escapist experience.
Yes.
Rather, that's why I didn't like Girls, because like she was getting a pap smear. I'm like, I got a pap smear yesterday. I don't need to see Lena Dunham getting a pap smear.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Or
it was,
I love
just
that.
A bit too real for me. So I don't know if I'll love it. I'm a bit more. I'm watching this show called The Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And it is so fucked up. It's so funny. It's like a superhero show, but like not. It's based on a comic, and it's like the secrets behind like an Avengers type group.
Oh, yeah.
Called the Seven, and they're all so fucked up, like really immoral, and they're run by a big corporation.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and so it starts with, this isn't spoiling anything because it happens in the first episode, but they're basically like a normal person, like a tragedy happens to him because of one of these superheroes. So then he kind of teams up with these underground guys that are like hoping to take them down. And it's really good. It's got Carl Urban in it, who's a great Kiwi actor.
Who the fuck is that?
He's really handsome. He was in like Lord of the Rings and stuff.
Oh, okay.
He's great. And it's got Meg Ryan's son in it.
Okay. So some just weird sort of
half
known actors is what you're telling me.
Oh, it's got Chase Crawford in it from Gossip Girl.
Oh my God. This sounds horrible.
And
there
he
are three people that don't make, they're just three random.
I know, but he nobody. Is like really good in it because his character's like
Is he still hot?
Yeah, he's really handsome. And that's like part of the shtick. But his character is an Aquaman type.
Oh, yeah.
And so none of them respect him. He's like the misfit of his superhero thing. And so he's really like sad all the time. It's very funny. I highly recommend it. It's on Amazon. So is Fleabag, actually. They're both on Amazon Prime. This is not sponsored by Amazon Prime.
No, but I wish it was.
But if they want to sponsor us, I'll watch The Boys all day long.
We'll just talk only about Fleabag. I also wanted to mention, and I haven't seen the movie, and both of us haven't seen the movie yet, so we're not going to talk about it.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
And we don't want you to talk about it in the group.
Don't talk about it in the
group. Because we want to watch it.
Don't spoil it.
And then we won't talk about it in the group. After we've watched it. Well, let's give everyone 2 weeks to see it and then we can start discussing it. It's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
I was in LA last week.
I was just in LA for work.
I
was there on business and I flew business because I was there on business. So what of it?
And I went to the restaurant that Sharon Tate ate at.
Yes.
Before she went home and then obviously died. So the group of people that went back to her house.
Yes,
so
the hairdresser.
J.C. Bring, Abigail Folger, and I've forgotten the other guy's name. They all went to dinner at El Dorado, sat in this booth that I was literally directly opposite and ate like dinner, obviously, and then went home and then the horrible events happened.
Yes.
And the restaurant has not changed. Everything is the same. And my friend Izzy was actually telling me that because it hadn't changed, when they shut it for filming for 2 days, they literally didn't have to add anything or take anything away because it is just the same. Like the decor is the decor. The decor. The decor. The decor is just like super, super like 50s, 60s bullshit. It's all like red leather booths and stuff, and the food is probably the same too because it's that kind of awful like Tex-Mex slop but delicious. The burrito was like the size of my arm and I ate the whole thing because I'm disgusting, and it was just really a good time. And then I felt like a bit of a creep because I was so into the fact that I was sitting near their table that they ate their last meal at, and that's kind of disgusting and fucked up. But also, you know what, we're all disgusting and fucked up here.
Dark tourism, man.
We are fucked up people.
We're just curious.
I'm inquisitive. So I can't wait to see the movie because then I'll be like, I was there.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else? No spoilers. You know what? This is such a stale warning because we're recording it on Friday.
Yeah.
And it won't go out till Tuesday. There could be spoilers all weekend of the movie, and also Mindhunter season 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm not going to get through this weekend.
Is it out now today?
It's out today. Oh. My God, I'm so excited.
Mm.
Love Mindhunter. Don't spoil.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Just no spoilers. You could write, I will accept this, hey guys, let's chat Mindhunter, and then post it, and then in the comments you can put a little spoil.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then only the people that want to read, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even then maybe write spoilers, enter, and then start writing in the comments so that it comes, you know?
Yeah.
I just think let's all be good people and help each other out. We want to all have the fun experience.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're talking about this at length. No one's ever done this. No one has spoiled anything in the group. Everyone's pretty good.
We're on this
what
weird
the fuck? Okay, I'm just gonna fucking start
against spoilers.
I'm really excited about this, Josie, because I never do murders.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I hate researching and I don't want to do any work.
Mm-hmm.
And also I have reread this once, so I should know what I'm talking about and not come up against a bit of a, you know, blockade like a Patinella style of someone literally but not being the same person or not being on the boat or whatever the fuck happened. I can't remember, but I've blocked it out of my mind. I've blanked
That's
out that whole
–
Someone
episode,
told
though.
Me – my friend Vic, who listens to the podcast, friend of the podcast, said the other day that Patinella is her favourite episode, and I'm like, you are a high person.
It's
you
so
are not
fun, though.
Normal. Yeah, but I mean, there's fun, right? And then there's like you literally fucked up a crucial part of – musing about what happened, and then we got to the end and we just didn't resolve it, you know. I just think it's anyway, whatever, it exists and we're not deleting it because we don't delete our episodes.
We don't.
They just hang around.
We're proud. We own our imperfection.
We do. It's what makes us human.
What are we saying?
Anyway, I'm talking about Michael Griffey.
Don't know him.
Literally, Josie doesn't know this story.
I know nothing about what you're going to tell
and
me.
And it's
this
fucking
wild.
This is why
I forced you practically at gunpoint to do
I know.
This.
I don't even know how I came across this guy.
Well, you and put it in the...
Yeah.
You were like, oh my God, I want to do this. You put it yes. in and then you're like, I don't want to.
I know. And I've like delayed it and delayed it. But here we are and I'm glad I've done it. But the funny thing with this is I think I was Googling for this season like mysteries.
Yes,
and more
that's right.
lesser known mysteries because, you know, we've done a lot of these big ones mm-hmm. and the big ones are usually really, really like, you know, very dark. There's like obviously murder is dark mm-hmm, always, but mm-hmm. then there's like, you know, murder of little kids.
Yes,
and like
it's always kids.
Murdering all these innocent women and doing awful things to them. And I just wanted something that had a bit of a what the fuck
yes,
element.
Okay.
So Michael Griffey. Oh, let's do. I hate doing credits, but you know what?
We don't have to.
Well,
we
I'll just
them
do
in
it.
The comments.
No,
the
because
comments
I feel like
the
I should. The
what?
Comments of what? The comments of like the sound waves, just like subliminal messages laid over the bottom.
The Australian. The Age. Oh my God! Oh,
I would really appreciate. I'm going to whisper them just to make it weird and creepy. Here's the credits.
The Age and unsolvedtruecrime.com, which is, it seems like kind of not a very really reputable website, but I got a lot of information from it.
Okay, I feel like that was also maybe a bit like
ASMR
vibes, but it was pretty funny. And I bet if you weren't fucking listening,
you'd
you
be like,
dicks that
oh,
don't like
what the fuck just happened.
Yeah, that you'd be probably like, oh, I zoned out there when Mel and Josie were talking trash
yeah.
for like 100 years, which, you know what, actually, fair enough. I totally understand
I
that mood.
I don't even know what the fuck
my own
talking
eyes
about
glaze
then.
Over at my own talking. But if you did, then you were just suddenly like, what the fuck
yes.
just happened?
Yeah.
Shit just got weird. I'm mm-hmm. going to start doing it in
Why
the episodes at random
just
times.
Randomly whisper
just randomly
sentences.
I'm going to whisper things. I'm going to scare you with it. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. So Michael Griffey is this 45-year-old baller of a guy. He's like rich as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in a $500,000 mansion in Pakenham, but this is in 2005 because I was like, because I was like,
that's a bargain.
I was like, that would get you literally like a converted jail cell now. Like,
that'd get you a car park in Sydney CBD.
Would you like this tiny square foot by square foot little concrete slab with no window? It
yes.
could be yours for $1 million.
That's a mansion.
That's a
if you
mansion.
Want it to be. Where's Pakenham?
Well,
sorry.
Well, it's I semi looked it up. It's, you know what? Melbourne is weird and I don't understand it.
Yeah,
because
I don't
it
either.
Says Melbourne in the middle, right? Mm, and mm. there's the water bit, which
yes.
is like St Kilda and shit. But then there's like this bit over here on the right somewhere. And
yeah.
then I'm like, are you in Melbourne?
Are you in Melbourne?
Are you outside of Melbourne?
Maybe it's
are you
like
a suburb
Parramatta.
Or are you an area? It seemed like Parramatta. Like the like as in not necessarily vibes of Parramatta.
Uh-huh.
It I don't know what vibes it has. Possibly, well, he had a tennis court. So
wow,
I reckon it was vibes
of
like Vaucluse or
ooh.
Like North Shore. But anyway, the point being, I don't understand you, Melbourne. I don't understand the shape of you
and what the boundaries are,
where it ends.
Yeah,
you've got like mountain, like there's fucking like Yarra area
yeah.
is near you,
and then it goes
and the Dandenongs, and it's like you're so close.
And then it
to
goes
them.
Down to like where Harold Holt went.
Yes, don't
Julian's
get it.
Brother's living down there at the moment.
I don't understand.
What's that called? The Mornington Peninsula
yes,
area
Mornington
as well.
And is that part of you?
Is that Melbourne as well?
I don't know. So Victoria in general is a mystery to me.
It's a fucking mess down there,
it's a
guys.
Mess. You're
sort
a mess.
Your shit out.
You are a mess, actually, because your fucking streets are a complete disaster zone. Absolute disaster to drive. And I know that Sydney's no better, and I cannot talk because you go into Surrey Hills and there's like, oh, here's one-way street that leads to nowhere and you cannot turn around.
And you just have to drive around
you
in
just
a
have
square.
To stop and forever stay there. You cannot move anymore. You've made a wrong turn and now
yeah,
this is where you live.
Especially around our work. It's
yeah.
very weird.
But anyway, so I'm assuming it's kind of upmarket vibes, but it really doesn't matter to the story at all. So he lived this kind of pimp life. Like he was a bit of a like, I don't know what you heard, but why am I doing that? I was singing P-I-M-P.
Oh, right.
I should have just kept going and gone with it, but instead I sort of weirdly faded
like,
out in the middle.
Are you okay?
Anyway, so he has a inverted commas treasured Monaro, which is a car.
What the hell? This is Parramatta. This is Parramatta.
The house had tennis courts, as I said. And I just feel like when you've got tennis courts, you're a rich cunt. That's the sign.
Yeah, but maybe it's like nouveau riche.
Oh, it's very nouveau riche.
Like he's not classy.
Oh, no. He's not classy.
Monaro.
Oh, yeah.
That's not cool.
He's not classy. But he does have a tennis court, Josie. So we know he's important.
Yeah.
Because he has a tennis court.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has a tennis court in their property. No. Unless they... saying I'm a rich cunt. So he also had another house in Phillip Island because mm-hmm. he was married to Diane Griffey, but they had split up, but it was kind of amicable. So he was kind of back and forth between Phillip Island and his Pakenham home. Like it wasn't right. like this like divorce where they were like, we're never speaking again.
Right. Vibes. He was like...
He kind of stayed there and stuff. Like it wasn't...
Did they have kids?
Yeah. So they had three kids. Natasha, who was 19... back at the time when all this is going on, Kenny 18 and Cassandra 16,
right,
and they all lived in Pakenham with their mum,
right.
So and he had moved to Phillip Island during the, after the divorce,
oh,
but then had stayed amicable and kept going back.
So they had the tennis court, not him.
Well, he had it because he would go back there, and he had it right. before the divorce as well. So even though he's this rich bastard, he wasn't actually a bastard. Mm-hmm. He was big on community stuff. He supported district clubs and charities, and he also coached the Pakenham Under-12s cricket team.
Oh, it's very wholesome.
And the best quote ever from unsolvedtruecrime.com that isn't going to make sense because I did leave a bit out that I'm going to have to add in, but I'm going to add it in after this and explain it to you.
Okay.
Michael had been a coach for the Pakenham Under-12s cricket side and had often picked up the team in one of his limousines. And at first I was like, okay, this guy's just like gone over the top with his
one of his many
money
limousines.
Thrusting. Yep. But he owned a limousine company.
Oh.
So the ways he made his money was he and Diane had started up a plaster moving company, which is like those people, like I knew a person once who literally only went into buildings and installed door frames. Like that's all he did.
Wow, a niche.
A niche market, and that's how you make your fucking money.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? It's like anesthesiologists.
Yes, like specialists.
You literally walk in. And you stick a thingy in someone's arm and you're like, tweedle-little-little, here's all the little drugs you're getting. Boom, you're not going to die. I mean, look, you probably have a lot of liability on your job.
Yeah.
I mean, but do people normally die of anesthesia?
That's how Kanye West's mum died. People can have a reaction.
Oh, no.
So that's what they're there for. They're there to, like, monitor your heart.
Oh, my God, now I'm
stuff.
Scared. I never want to go to hospital ever again. I'm just not going.
Well, if I have to push something out of my body,
I want you to rip it out.
Okay.
Here, with no anesthesia.
Me, not trained at all.
Just you.
Okay, I'll do it.
I trust you. So anyway, he's a nice guy, according to general people. Not that they mean much, because everyone's a fucking nice guy these days.
Yeah.
Fucking serial killers are nice guys.
Oh, yeah, he was so unassuming.
Fucking Ted Bundy seemed like a nice guy.
He was lovely.
So,
lovely guy.
Lovely guy. So Michael goes missing on the 29th of December 2005. Oh. According to reports from The Australian, police alleged in court that he'd driven up to his Pakenham home at about 8 a.m. on that day from the family's beach house in San Remo, because they also had a fucking beach house.
Oh, wow. So the three houses going on here.
Yep. To talk about financing their son Kenny's sprint car racing team.
Oh, Christ. It is bogan.
It is
They're
bogan.
Cashed up bogans.
Cashed up bogans. So he's missing for quite a few days. And then on the 2nd of January 2006, Diane, so his estranged wife, and their daughter Cassandra, who was 16, find his body in the garage at 9:45 p.m.
Wait, how long was he missing?
He was missing since the 29th of December, so like... I have to do maths.
Wait, what was
date? Like 4 days.
Oh, right.
4 days.
And they found his body in the garage of the house?
Yes.
That they were living in?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. That was amazing.
Oh, my God.
So the family also weirdly had a New Year's Eve party at the house. And some of the reports said Michael was killed on New Year's Eve, but most reports said the 29th of December, including like that whole Herald Sun series.
Right.
So I feel like some other person fucked it. And the Herald Sun, I'm going to go with them because they had the most articles on it. They really followed the case.
Oh, yes.
Because this is like
newer.
That's
what they do.
So it's not, there wasn't any Wikipedia for me to follow. Yeah. So they're like, they have a fucking New Year's Eve party and
no
one.
So even though he's missing.
Yeah.
They're like,
Which is weird. Missing. Which is, but look, this is the thing. I mean, like, we're going to come to some of this later, okay. But it's just confusing to me. So his daughter's like only 16, super young, and she's the first to figure out that something was off, saying she smelled, quote, something rotting.
Oh, no.
Before spotting blankets and blood. His body was covered in a tarp, but Cassandra said that she saw his sunnies sticking out the side and some of his thongs. So she didn't lift she didn't anything. She was just like, Christ. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
They immediately called 000, but Diane was apparently overwhelmed during the call and put Cassandra on. And I just feel so much for this, like, teenager.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's just awful. So police examine the body and they find 3 lacerations on his head that they determine to be fatal, as well as a defense injury on his wrist. They deduce that the injuries were caused by a blunt instrument, but an undetermined instrument, although a wood splitter was found in the house and was seized during investigations. His wallet and phone are missing. 2 pages of his diary have been ripped out, and $1,000 from a safe has been taken, but only 3 people had the safe combination. Weirdly, I cannot for the life of me find out who these 3 people were. I'm pretty confident he was one, and I'm pretty confident Diane was the other because they were in business together, but I don't know who this third person was.
Mm. The killer.
People also discovered 2 life insurance policies valued at $1.54 million.
No.
Diane was the beneficiary. Yeah. So in 2007, Diane was charged with murder.
Oh, my God.
Then during preliminary hearings of the trial against Diane, Cassandra confessed to the murder.
What? The little 16-year-old girl?
Yep. The trial was adjourned while police investigated this confession, but soon after the police said the confession wasn't credible as it was found that her version of events did not match key evidence in the crime. So no charges were ever made against her. Let's also remember she was like 16. I think she would have been 17 years old at this point or 18. She's like still pretty fucking young.
And
so
she just didn't want to mum to go to jail probably.
Well, yeah, it just very much reminded me a bit of like Brendan Dassey vibes of like just like pressure and shit. But anyway, but we'll come back to that because who knows? Diane pleaded not guilty and the case was actually dropped in 2008 because there wasn't enough evidence against her to convict her.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, was it just the life insurance?
Well, no, there's more to come. Oh. But it became a cold case and has stayed so ever since.
Oh, my God.
So there's plenty of fucking sus stuff. We're going to go through person by person because, oh, it's just a minefield.
Okay.
But obviously it doesn't seem like a random attack because you've got the safe open and the phone and the wallet are gone and the diary particularly is sus.
Yes, what did the diary say?
Yeah, and he's also kind of...
We're talking a planner, right? Not, dear diary, today I went to my third house.
I think it was that.
Oh.
But I don't know because I would think, why would you pull 2 pages out of a planner?
Because it might say meeting, with man with... wood splitting business.
Who knows? So let's obviously start with Diane because she was the one that was charged with it, even though she was the case was dropped against her. So Diane and Michael met in Ballarat and they moved to Melbourne together, which is when they formed the company D&M Plaster Transport. Super original name,
D&M,
guys.
I love it.
They were real go-getters business-wise because they launched the limousine service a couple of years later.
Right.
That's how they made their money. So when they separated, they still continued to kind of live together, like I said, harmoniously, like in periods. At least that's what reports I read said.
Okay.
Diane even knew about Michael's affairs with other women. And apparently would call his mistress, who we'll get to soon, and chat amicably with her at times. So it was very like this very modern, relaxed kind of relationship. It was kind of like, okay, I don't want to be married to you, but I don't like fucking hate you and want you to necessarily die.
I've got kids.
Yep. And there's a lot of mentions of sex, like he had... They still would have sexual relations and all these things. It was very like
guys.
Weird. Like I just don't feel like we needed that specific... element.
So Diane, you're better than that.
Don't have sex with your ex, Diane,
who's like been swinging it around town. Was he a fat man?
He looks, I actually can't, no, I feel like a little bit like he was kind of bald. I think
I picture him as quite portly.
Yeah, he's a portly man. Yes, he's not like a fat man, he's more like a stocky.
Yes, that's what I picture.
Friends said Michael had never said a bad word about Diane, and once during a health scare he had, because he had a few health problems.
Because he was portly.
Because he was portly. He told Diane she was the only woman he ever loved.
Aww.
But there was tension between them over money.
There always is.
Always is.
It's always money, isn't it? Bloody hell.
So apparently Michael complained to his friends about his wife's financial dealings and said she'd recently written a number of checks that had bounced.
Mm.
And the transport company they owned, so limo company, was facing financial hardship in the months leading up to his death. Then in 2008, so this is after his death, mm-hmm. it was revealed that the company actually had owed $1 million to the tax office and over 100,000 to other creditors.
So they're in serious trouble.
They're in some serious financial shit. Here's a quote from The Australian. It says, an Australian taxation office audit revealed the pair had incorrectly claimed $1,072,484 in fuel rebates for their fleet of five trucks, as well as not paying enough GST. So it was some pretty shady shit.
Yeah, they were being dodgy.
They were being dodgy, and then they got caught for it.
Greedy bastards.
And The Australian then reported that friends of Michael's told police Diane was running the books for the company and along with writing the bouncing checks was dipping into the finances to support a gambling habit.
Diane.
Yeah. Aww. Well, these are friends of Michael's. Okay. So I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, but there's that same kind of vibe again coming up. Close friend Darren Delaland. I thought it was Deland, but it's actually Delaland.
Delaland.
Delaland. Darren Delaland reportedly told police, quote, Michael has spoken to me about money problems with Diane. He didn't say that they were broke. It was more about Diane's mismanagement with money. He said that Diane was writing out checks for various things and they were bouncing because there was no money in the accounts or they'd been closed. A couple of months ago, Michael had mentioned that he had discovered an account that should have been in the black, but was in fact 180 grand in the red. He said that he felt he couldn't trust Diane anymore and that she'd let him down. So that was a couple of months ago and he was talking at the case with Diane. So it was like a couple of months before his death, basically. Oh, okay. Darren also said that Michael had joked about how he got life insurance in the 12 months leading up to his death and that he was, quote, worth more dead to Diane than alive.
Oh, my God.
But then that seems like a weird thing to say too. So I don't know.
Who talks like that?
I know.
Actually, people do talk like
that. Yeah, they
do. Like that kind of black humor.
Yeah. So in the end, after all of this case business that got dropped against her, Diane got the policies paid out, but she still ended up declaring bankruptcy on June the 2nd, 2014, which her son Kenny told the Herald Sun was because of a large tax bill. So basically she got the money, but then the business went bust anyway and she had to file for bankruptcy. So it's all a bit, a lot of money, weird things. Interestingly as well, Diane remarried after Michael's death to their friend Rodney Meekins, but The Australian reported that a loan to their plaster company had a weird element to it. It was approved by GE Money for a loan of $99,916 for a new truck. P.S. I'm so like off all this money. Like I do not talk financial things. My dad is an accountant, but like I can't get my head around. I can barely add up as we've seen. I couldn't figure out how many days were between when he died and when he was found. So this is, but it's a lot of money things, but it just is all kind of the shady shit really.
Yes.
So this $99,000 thing for a new truck. But amendments in the documents revealed that instead of the money going to Berwick Nissan, which is, I guess, where they were buying the truck from, $35,670 went to an auto parts recycling company run by Rodney Meekins, which is weird.
They were being so sus.
And to her then future husband after her husband dies, weird.
So, oh no, I don't want to say that because I might be jumping ahead, also maybe defaming.
Oh, so many elements there.
I was just thinking maybe Michael wasn't the only one stepping out when they were still married slash together.
It says Miss Griffey's boyfriend, Rodney Meekins, but I couldn't tell if that was happening while, like, Michael was alive or if they meant like now boyfriend
now
and then
boyfriend.
They got married. You know what I mean? Like it was really confusing because there's no timeline. Ugh, there's just a whole bunch of articles.
I always need a timeline.
Yeah.
And there never is. And that's why I spend hours doing these murder cases.
And that's why I spend 2 hours and then fuck it up.
Hours doing it. But I just wonder if maybe that's why she was pretty chill with him having side flings.
Well, they weren't because they weren't together.
If she was also had a boyfriend and he had a mistress.
I mean, it wouldn't
surprise
me.
It's not really a mistress if they're not together.
Yeah, I know. They call her his mistress a lot in all the articles.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of weird. I assume she was someone he was still with and seeing while he was with Diane officially as her husband.
Sounds very messy.
It's messy. Josie, it's very messy. So one of the – also with Diane, one of the reasons she was charged in the first place was she actually described a striped bed sheet that covered Michael's body when they found him.
Mm.
But prosecutor Boris Kayser had said in court, as reported by The Age, which I have to say all of that because for legal reasons,
yes,
that a statement from an ambulance officer provided, quote, ample evidence – end quote, for a jury to find Griffey guilty. He said he could not lift a canvas that covered the body as it seemed stuck to the ground by dried blood, which is gross, after he arrived on January 2. So this is the ambulance officer.
Mm-hmm.
Can't lift this tarp off the floor.
Mm.
But under that is where the sheet was.
Oh, so how could she have possibly seen it?
And she had said, yeah, and she had said, like, so, and this is after she'd called 000. So this is stuck down.
Mm.
So she calls 000, the ambulance turns up, and then they can't get the tarp off. And yeah. underneath the tarp is where the sheet was.
So how the fuck would she know
it was there?
Unless she fucking put it there.
That's what they were thinking.
Mm.
And they also said that you couldn't see it under the tarp. You couldn't see the sheet. Also, Diane had said Michael had texted her twice on the day of his murder, but in court, Sergeant Robertson told the court that the messages that were sent seemed to provide a false alibi and a false motive, and each was sent and received through the same telecommunications tower, which is very serial.
So it's like...
And confusing
to me.
Someone
else had the phone.
Well, it's like, I think they were implying or like, you know, sus on her whether she had sent the text or somebody else in the house had sent them, and so it was like pinging back.
Very serial.
So there's Diane.
There's a few red flags
A few red flags around Diane at the moment. Gillian Gould, which is the mistress I keep talking about.
The mistress.
So they'd been seeing each other for 5 years, Gillian and Michael. And she'd also known Diane and Michael for a long time as a couple.
This is messy.
Yeah. So she said on the day that Michael disappeared that he'd called her and she'd missed it. Quote, he told me he was going to Foster and he wouldn't have any coverage, so I was surprised when I got a call from him. That's from the Herald Sun. And she was also the person that filled out the missing persons report, which is equally strange to me, given that they had the New Year's Eve party at the house. Right? Do you know what I'm saying?
When does she file the missing persons report?
I don't know. but she filed a missing persons report within that 4 days somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But Diane didn't.
Diane didn't.
Yeah. But then this is where the miscommunications could happen, because I think Diane and Gillian did talk, but I don't think they were like besties or anything.
Yeah. And like, if he's just kind of visiting Diane sporadically.
Yeah.
Maybe she just wouldn't see him for 4 days, theoretically.
Well, this is what I mean. And it's
Gillian, you know, he said, I'm going away.
Yeah.
I won't be in coverage. That says to me they had a relationship where he needed to kind of say where he was going to be.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe with the ex-wife, maybe she wouldn't see him for 5 days or whatever, and so it wouldn't be weird.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And also, it's that kind of thing, like, you know, when kids sadly go missing sometimes, and they're like, "I was at they've said that they were going to blah blah's house, and then they didn't, and they did something else, and so the parents don't worry for quite a while because they assume they're at blah blah's house, and then you know, it feels like a little bit like that. Like if this guy is actually technically single, he's got multiple women that he's seeing.
Yeah,
he may not be giving full information to all of them, so it does make sense how he could kind of disappear for a few days. And actually, with the New Year's Eve party, I just had a thought: if Diane figured he was with Gillian, or they were on the outs, or they weren't really talking, maybe it wouldn't be weird that they had a New Year's Eve party and he just wasn't there, and no one knew where he was.
Yeah, maybe he just like wasn't in that direct circle of.
Yeah,
it's like my parents wouldn't report me missing anymore because I don't talk to them sometimes for a few days.
Exactly.
Whereas you guys and Julian, like my workmates and Julian, if I didn't show up for work, you guys would be the ones to go, hang on, Josie didn't show up today. Even Julian saying goodbye in the morning wouldn't know. You guys would know at like 3 p.m. if I didn't showed up. So it's like there's all different people in your life and not all of them know your whereabouts at all times.
Exactly.
And it sounds like this guy had a lot of different fucking people in his life.
He did. So Gillian has said that Michael didn't trust his wife due to the bouncing checks and that he was embarrassed and distressed as people that he knew at the bank were calling him up about them. And this was confirmed by a friend of Michael's that said that they discussed the $5,000 check that had bounced prior to New Year's.
$500,000?
The $5,000. Oh. Sorry. However, Gillian had also mentioned a more recent will had been made and that the two had been planned to wed soon, but there was no evidence of this that's ever been found. It's just Gillian's word.
Right. Wait, what was in the will?
Well, here we go. I'll tell you. So she told the Herald Sun in 2018, there was definitely another will. He discussed it with me. They were separating. Might have been different if they had been more amicable, but she, Diane, was trying to discredit him. He didn't want anything more to do with her. So while I had all these reports that they were amicable, Jillian's take was that they weren't as amicable, or at least at that time they weren't.
And it was becoming less amicable with all the money shit.
Yes, and she actually had a weird take on Diane in general. She said, quote, she, Diane, knew we were together. She didn't want him, but she didn't want anyone else to have him. Mm-hmm. So Jillian's perception of Diane was that she was a bit more of a jealous person, and she was also like they had a really shit relationship, him, her and Michael. Right. And that there was this whole other will that Michael allegedly was making or had made that gave that Jillian the money. Right. Yeah, so it's all, I mean, again.
That in itself is quite convenient.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's like a lot of he said, she said, she said, she said stuff. Because there's a lot of people in this that have a stake on this masses of money. But also, like I mentioned at the beginning, Michael didn't just have Jillian that he was seeing as well as Diane. Michael. He apparently had many affairs. He was a bit of a Harold Holt. He had paid a deposit on another Pakenham home for one woman and was paying the mortgage. Yeah, was paying the mortgage or rent of another woman in Canberra.
Canberra.
Yeah. So he had like other chicks on the go or who he had had on the go or whatever. So there's other women around that he had some kind of relation, at least a financial relationship with.
Jesus.
I know. And the Australian actually said that he maintained a separate mobile phone, used internet dating, and was still sleeping with Diane. So there's a lot of...
Oh, wow.
There's multiple reports that he had
all these other... He had a sex phone. I love it.
He had a sex phone. Exactly. This is just my sex phone.
I'll call you on my sex phone.
babe, hang on. I'm just going to hang up and call you on my sex phone. So then there's Michael's sister, Katrina Fitzpatrick, who isn't sus herself, but has said some interesting things. So she says she saw Michael a month prior to his death, and she told the ABC in 2015 that he'd given her a necklace, and then that he strangely said that he loved her and started to cry. Katrina also had this real issue with Diane or the kids getting Michael's money as well.
Oh, my God.
She said, quote, if they get that money, to me that's Michael's work money and he worked hard and those kids got everything, cars, the lot, to the Courier in 2008. So it's kind of this vibe of like she didn't like Diane, she didn't like the kids, she didn't like them getting his money.
Yeah.
And she also saw him a month before he died and he starts crying and says, I love you, and gives him her a necklace. It's just like a bit, what's going on?
Yeah, like maybe he knew something bad was going to happen.
Well, that's the theory, is that potentially did he know or was he involved? So Kenny Griffey, which is his son.
I'm sorry. Worst this name. Is so mean, but he just sound. No one named Kenny Griffey is not dodgy.
It is. It does.
Dodgy, like he wears a gold chain.
And he has like a gold tooth.
And he's got like thinning hair on top.
And it comes down in an aggressive widow's peak. Because widow's peaks look so creepy. I'm sorry. They're just evil. If you have a widow's peak, shave it off. Shave it off. And I say that to my sister as a widow's peak. Shave that fucking thing off. Get a fringe. Yeah. Fringes cover up widow's peaks. Mm-hmm. So Kenny Griffey, Michael's son. Kenny Griffey with the creepy name.
With the widow's peak.
And the widow's peak.
And the gold chain.
And the gold chain.
And the gold tooth.
And the gold tooth.
Even though that technology is outdated.
And a red jacket.
Yes.
And he drives like a...
Tirana.
Yeah. Done. So he was actually arrested first. He was the first person to get arrested.
Yes, I was sus on him as soon as I heard his name. It was Kenny, to be honest.
But he was released pretty quickly. And then Diane was charged. So he was the first to be arrested. He claimed in 2018 he had this really spicy interview with Herald Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And he claimed that a metal tool used for hammering garden stakes seems incredibly specific to me.
I've got a separate hammer for my garden stakes.
I've got to go to Bunnings and buy a hammering stake for my – a hammering tool for my garden stakes.
But only my garden stakes.
The garden stakes are getting wobbly.
It's separate to my nail hammer.
It's a completely different hammer to a normal hammer.
It's my garden stake hammer. Don't touch it.
Only use it on the garden stakes. If you do use it on anything else, I'll be very upset.
I'll have to throw it away. It can't be tarnished.
It cannot be used again.
If my mum listened to this, she'd be upset. She has many hammers for different purposes.
What? No one needs many hammers. Yeah. You just need the one hammer.
Mum loves her tools.
Maybe you might need two hammers. You might need a hammer, like a little hammer like for nails, and then a large one for large
or
things.
Or a ball peen hammer. that what they're called?
A ball peen.
They're the ones people use to kill people. They're like pointy.
Oh, interesting. What the fuck would you use a pointy hammer for?
Killing people only.
Murder hammer. It's in the murder section of Bunnings. Oh, you're looking for the ball peen hammer? Yeah. That's in the murder section of Bunnings.
It's in the murder aisle.
Sorry about that. I know you're looking in the hammer section, but we've only got garden stake hammers here. He reckons that this garden stake hammer was missing from the garage after his father's murder.
Oh.
So then moving on kind of to Cassandra Griffey, but we're kind of talking about them together. Right. So obviously she confessed and then retracted the confession.
Well, they were like, no.
It was, right. So she confessed and then they were like, no, that's not thing.
Go away, little girl.
Yeah. But Kenny told the Herald Sun in that interview that Cassandra bleached a pair of her jeans before she handed them over to the cops.
Bleached a pair of her jeans.
He even went on further. He said, quote, the pants were covered in blood, but she bleached them so there was no blood on them. Isn't that fucked? Also, this is your sister. Like, can you just cover up for her? I said to Kate, if I murdered someone, I would be like making you do all the cover-ups for me.
And what did she say?
She said, sure. We were literally having a convo the other day about like how far you'd have to go for us to be like severed forever as sisters.
To not,
And it was literally like there was no limit. There was no limit. It was like, what if you murdered like dad? And I was like, one. Still fine.
I've got one.
Yeah.
If you killed the dog.
I think still fine.
I reckon the dog comes above your parents.
Oh, yeah. It definitely comes. It would be definitely harder to forgive her for killing Millie than killing dad.
What if she just like yeeted her into a wall and killed her?
I'd be really angry for a few years, I think.
A few years. Okay.
So or maybe a couple of years and then I get over it.
Decent rift.
Maybe a few months. It depends. Like, it really depends on the context, doesn't it? But the point being is that we just worked out that it has to get to, like, that level.
Well, that's nice. That I mean, gives is it? Me hope for, like...
I think it's disgusting.
If I have siblings that get along. If I have siblings. Children that get along as siblings. Because I think I could just sneeze and my brother would be like, you're cancelled.
You're cancelled. So Kenny also said Diane and Cassandra went to a sprint car racing place that they often went to.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
They fucking love the sprint cars, hey?
I don't want to shame people, but that's so bogan. There's probably people in the group that are like, I'm really into sprint. You know, I said to Julian the other day, we were watching one of our football shows, and there was an add-on for, like, the V8 supercars.
Yeah.
And I said, like, really seriously, I'm like, babe, what would you do if I just suddenly really got into supercars? And he thought for ages and he's like, I don't know. Like, I think it'd be super weird. Like, I don't think I could get over it.
But you know what? I reckon I've got a bit of, I think I have a, I'm like a bit bogan in my soul because I do love a lot of bogan things. Like, I could get into V8 supercar racing.
My mum loves the car racing.
I could get into it. I get it. It's fast. There's a threat of danger to it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I mean, I don't think I could go regularly, but what do I go to regularly? I don't go to the AFL or the NRL. I'm an NRL fan. Bogan.
That's bogan.
Fucking yes, NRL. Mm. The superior football sport.
It's so not
at It all. Really is. It makes more sense, Josie.
It doesn't at all.
It does too.
Run, tackle.
What's AFL? Running around all over the field and just throwing shit everywhere and kicking it and there's no rules and you can do whatever you want.
Fun.
And
it can change it in a given second.
That's because it's stupid and has no real rules and it's made up by some bored people. NRL is organized and professional.
That's so boring.
And there's strategy involved and it's good strategy. Anyway, I'm not going to keep going on this, but what I'm saying is NRL is better and it's my podcast episode today and I get to have.
It's not better.
Next week you can start saying that AFL is better and I have
I've always said that.
But the point being is I kind of get the car thing.
Okay, the sprint cars?
Yes, but that's besides the point whether they are bogan or not and whether that is cool or not. It's cool.
They're cashed up bogans.
Yeah. The cashed up bogans. That's where they used to go all the time. And they went there a few days after Michael's murder. And according to Kenny, Cassandra dumped a bag.
What? At the sprint car area.
On the way. He said, quote,
he's throwing her under the sprint car.
He's throwing his sister under the sprint car. So he said, quote, Diane told me she, Cassandra, was carrying a bag and she stopped on the way to Alexandra, which is where the sprint car racing was. She stopped to go to the toilet. She had the bag that she was hiding all the clothes in and she dumped it. Oh. So apparently she just dumped these clothes. I didn't see a lot of stuff and I didn't know about a lot of stuff while Dad was alive. I've learnt a lot more about my sister and mother. He's being very cryptic and I like it. It's spicy. So Cassandra moved to New South Wales after the murder, but apparently received payments from Diane of up to $20,000, according to Kenny.
Payments?
Payments of $20,000. Yeah, from the payout that she got, that Diane got, as in like yes. the life insurance. And then Cassandra went back to Melbourne at the time that this was written, which was 2018, had a half share in a transport business with Diane, delivering plasterboard like her dad did. So Diane and Cassandra are close, mm-hmm. work together now. Mm-hmm.
They went into business together. I'd never go into business with her. She was bouncing checks all over town.
I know. She did not seem like a good business. This is not a good choice. She does not seem like a good business person. She also said something weird and cryptic to the Herald Sun, Cassandra did, when they questioned her again in 2018 after this article. She said, quote, "My father's life was very layered and your place, in inverted commas, in his life depended on what you knew about him or if you actually knew him at all and not just what he wanted you to believe." How sweet and sus is that?
So she's saying that he was the one with all the secrets.
Yeah.
And not them.
Yeah. It's weird, right? And then obviously she confessed.
Yeah.
And then it got booted. And that in and of itself is weird. Like, I know she was young and I do believe that, like, young people, it's kind of like, okay, well, who knows? But at the same time.
Maybe she was actually.
Was she protecting someone?
Or maybe she was actually like racked with guilt and was like, I'm just going to confess. Yeah. They're like, run along, little girl. Yeah. You don't know what
and
you're talking
like,
about.
She's like, sick, I just got away with murder.
She's like, here's a video of me doing it. No, there's no evidence.
That's
off
not
you go.
That's not you murdering someone. That's you just playing with a gardening, what is it called?
Hammer.
That's it.
There's some very sus elements, like the having of the party to me is weird.
That having of the party to me is the least weird now because, like we said.
Maybe they didn't know he was missing. Like, yeah. If they had nothing to do with it, they wouldn't necessarily know he was missing. The kids were old enough to not need their dad at all times.
That's what I mean.
He wasn't married to her anymore. They had a very sporadic interactions.
Yeah.
So maybe that didn't matter.
Like, if I'm thinking about New Year's Eve and since I was about 14 onwards, like 12 onwards even, 13 onwards, me and my sister would do whatever the fuck we wanted. We'd go and do something else. Sometimes the family would be together, but it wasn't necessarily. And so if your parents were split up, there's every chance that he just had, like, originally even had plans with Jillian or some other woman that he was seeing and was just expected not to be there in years. Yeah. So for him to go missing for 4 days and for Diane not to know about it
that's
and his
not
kids,
weird.
That's not weird. It's weird now because it's like that none of them knew and then Jillian put in a – and I would like to know when she filed the missing persons report and how long potentially that Diane knew that he was missing as well. But
maybe they did have New Year's plans, him and Jillian, and then – because that's like
happened.
3 days, 29th, 30th, 31st. Mm-hmm. That would be enough for her to be worrying.
Yeah, that's true.
To me, it's so weird to just leave, if I killed someone, to just leave them on the premises of my house in the garage.
Yeah, I mean, that is a weird element. And I think that's probably part of the reason that they let Diane's stuff go. Because obviously there was very circumstantial evidence. I mean, the sheet is weird to me.
Yeah,
extremely
that's weird.
Fucking weird. But then at the same time.
Still not physical.
She may have known.
Still doesn't tie you that directly.
No, and it's the word of one ambulance officer, I guess, is what happened. Was it was like this one ambulance officer said, oh, I couldn't lift the sheet because it was stuck down. But it's like, well, that doesn't mean that no one could lift the sheet.
Clearly,
it doesn't mean that edge was the bit like.
Yeah, if the trial was thrown out, clearly it wasn't enough tying it to it. Well, she'd be tried for it.
But the money, I feel like the money is definitely what it all hinges on because.
But couldn't you just threaten someone with a hammer and say, open the safe?
No, not the $1,000. I feel like that's all cover up. But I feel like that's the weird part because the safe only had three people that could open it. I don't even know who this third person was because I'm a shit researcher. If anyone else can figure it out, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't.
You think all the money issues are very weird?
Well, I just think that he had the two life insurances. He had the two properties. There was a lot of money to be gained by him dying. And at the time, Diane and the kids were the ones to gain.
Mm-hmm.
But then also Jillian has said that there was meant to be this other will. So she allegedly thinks there's another will, so that implicates her. She might have
had something to gain.
Then you've got the elements of these other women that he has seen.
Yep.
You know, there's so many people. I feel like this guy made a little bit of a mess.
Legit, when Cassandra said he's got layers to his life, she was not lying about that. Yeah,
and that quote is interesting to me as well, what she said. That's so cryptic and weird. What is that saying about his life? What was he in?
Like, other things.
Was he into other shit? They were very tied to sprint car driving. So there was this whole thing that I didn't talk about where he had had a convo with Diane about... Oh, I did say it, about Kenny.
Yes, Kenny's sprint car business
or whatever. So it's like then there's that whole other thing of, you know, were there sus things going on? Was he involved in anything sus? Were there gambling debts that needed to be paid?
Were there shady businessmen?
Diane, obviously, apparently was gambling. Shady deals.
He knew people at the bank. Maybe there was, like, sus people there. The bank.
Maybe there was, like, the mailman sus was sus.
Bankers giving him sus deals.
Did they have a, like, evil, you know, dog walker?
The pool was the cleaner. Pool guy. The tennis court maintenance man.
The guy garden stake hammering
that
man.
Does the like white lines on the tennis courts. He was up to sus his eyeballs in debt. It's so weird to me that there's all this money shit going on. That business was basically bankrupt. But he still had 700 houses, was paying the mortgage of another one for another woman, was paying the rent for another woman. Like, he was kind of living beyond his means a little bit. He downsized.
Yeah.
Sold a couple of houses.
Got rid of that tennis court.
Got rid of the tennis
court. So much upkeep on that tennis court.
You know, you don't need the maintenance person anymore. He was in financial trouble, but it doesn't sound like he was doing anything to get out of that financial trouble. Like, it's not like Diane had to kill him to get the life insurance because she was in debt up to her eyeballs. That was their joint business.
Yeah.
So he was also in debt up to his eyeballs.
That's why there's that whole extra theory where he said, you know, cried with his sister and all of that was like...
Oh, you think he...
Because he had health problems, which we do know, and he'd been in hospital, had a really bad health scare.
Yeah.
He's also got all this debt and, like, you know, it's actually really shitty and sad, but, like, a lot of people that have gambling debt sadly take their own life sometimes.
Because they can't see a way out.
Because they literally can't find a way out. You know, he's got these kids to provide for and stuff. But then I just can't imagine, like, if he got shot in the head, I would go, I'd be leaning more towards that because I'd be like, okay, well, you know, that's a way that you can kill yourself or someone can kill you. But you're not really going to, like, literally hammer yourself in the head. Like, how horrible, what a horrible way to die. I don't know why anyone would do that.
Yeah, and it's not, like, the traditional hitman way of doing things.
It just seems like someone else has done that to him without him expecting it because I just cannot think of a person that would be like, sure, hammer me in the head. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not what people
Maybe
do.
Maybe it was just... when he saw his sister is just stressed.
He could have just been stressed, exactly. Like, that's the thing. That's what's so annoying with mysterious cold cases is there's all these little elements and it's like if you just knew why the person was doing things that he did, but you wouldn't question it at the time. Like, I totally get how Katrina was just like, what's wrong? Like, why are you suddenly so emotional? Like, maybe you're just having a bad time. And then in the aftermath of what happened, she's like, fuck, that was probably like a sign that I needed to talk to him about something.
A huge moment, but she didn't really realize.
And she's, Katrina's the one who's really pushing for more information to come forward on this. And there's actually was like a good quote in the Pakenham Gazette, which, you know, I didn't even know existed, but here we are. From Detective Sergeant Martin Robinson in 2016, which said, I'm hoping that by bringing Michael's death to the public attention again will remind people of something they saw or heard back then. I am sure there are people who are struggling with the burden of the information they hold about Michael's death, and I urge them to tell their story and provide some closure to Michael's friends and family. So it's like, and I get this because it's like, there's all these little woven elements to it.
It's very messy.
Did someone slip up somewhere? Is there some information somewhere? Did someone just... not even realize, like, it's almost like when we talked about Azaria Chamberlain, even though this is completely different because as we have said, this is fucked, but like the guy that was just cruising around talking about this, seeing a baby in a dingo's mouth at some point and had just never told the police, like, he was just running around town telling
everyone else
but had never decided to go to the police. It's like, did someone have a weird interaction with them at some point? Anyway, so obviously if anyone listening knows anything, by all means, because this is a pretty recent case and it's local-ish.
Yeah.
A lot of people in the group, there's going to definitely be someone that knows them or knew of them or something.
Yeah, they sound like a pretty high profile, like local family.
Yeah. So
well known.
But anyway, if you know who the third person was that had the safe combination, let us know in the group, because people would have been around like reading the news when this was happening, especially local news. And I honestly could not fucking find it on the internet.
This happens with murders.
If you know, you knew the family or anyone from, if you like sprint car racing.
I'm sorry. I love you. A lot of mean things.
Come and tell Josie how shit AFL is and how great NRL is.
Since when are you an NRL fan?
I grew up with NRL.
You never talk about NRL.
Penrith Panthers forever.
This is the first time you've ever mentioned NRL.
Okay, it's definitely not something I bring up all the time.
I grew up in Newcastle going to the Knights games. I haven't liked AFL. I've liked AFL for like 4 years.
Yeah.
I would be killed by my local Newcastle people for saying all this stuff.
I think it's
about
Dad
AFL.
Loved it, so
I'm
it was like Origin and stuff was like
Andrew Johns when he was like,
yeah, that, and
he was like the king
Gordon
of Origin.
Tallis.
Yeah, but he was Queensland.
Yeah, but I'm just saying people's names that I remember from that
names.
Time.
Yeah.
Craig Wing,
John Johnson, great player.
Don't know who that is.
I made him up.
Oh, you were trying to catch me out, you little shit. On that note, guys, bye.
Bye.